Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Marshall, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You can?
Yep.
You sure? Got me.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was weird. Huh. Okay. That sucks because remember like months back we had this issue? Where
yeah.
I was having an issue. Can you hear me right now?
Yes.
You can't hear me? You can. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's... Wow. That's how I thought we started it. This is so weird. I don't understand what's going on. I'm going to try one more thing and just to make sure. Can you... So I cut off there. You couldn't hear me?
Yeah, you dropped off.
Wow. Okay. That's really strange. That should not be the case. Huh. Okay, let me see here. Well, you can hear me now, but it's... Wow, that's really weird, dude. Huh. Okay, so you can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't understand why that happened. Everything that usually happens as far as me hearing the beginning, the intro and all that, it seemed all good. I don't know what's going on, but as long as you can hear me, we're good. So I guess we'll figure it out some other day as far as why that other microphone would be on. Let me check one more thing. Can you still hear me right now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Super weird, but I think I got it all figured out. Sometimes it happens. You know, blogtalkradio.com is a very busy site. It is in the prime time. 5 to 8 is the prime time. So who knows? I don't know. So I don't know if now it kind of sucks because now – I don't know if my whole intro, dude. I had this money intro, too, dude. Just a money intro. You can still hear me, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I went on for a while, and usually when I call in, I can hear the ring, and I can, you know, you know that, okay, we're good to go. That is
sure.
Really, really spooky. Huh. Well, we'll figure it out. Either way, I'm not going to do the long-winded intro. I'm just going to say it just in case, because a lot of times it'll just jump cut into a spot. All the gaps, it miraculously fixes itself. So it'll just start where you can hear me. So on the podcast while it archives. So anyway, if you didn't hear it before, now you're going to hear it. The College Ball Show is back, and we are now turning our focus to college basketball. If you've been with us for college football, we really appreciate it. If you don't like basketball, hey, God bless you. Go, you know, This may not be the show for you, though, okay? So we're going to be here on a weekly basis for college basketball all the way to the NCAA title game, and then we'll switch to the NBA playoffs, which leads us obviously into the finals and the draft, and, of course, our last show for about a little less than 2 months, at that point anyway, would be early July for the NBA free agency. But that's neither here or there. Like I said, we're done with the college football. It is college basketball show now. Okay, so it's called – that's why we call it the college ball show, because we cover football and basketball. But anyway, let's just get into this. That's really weird. In the intro that I don't know if it recorded or not, I said that we're going to kind of give like a little minor – we're not going to do the 13 best games of the non-conference or nothing like that. We're going to just give an overview of what we've seen thus far, in a sense, something that stood out to you or, you know, that type of thing. And then we'll just kind of jump right into, since we had a busy last night on Big Monday, and also we had a crazy Saturday as far as matchups, you know, ranked versus ranked. West Virginia came into the week feeling pretty good about themselves, didn't they, Marshall? And next thing you know, back-to-back losses. So anyway, overall, like I said, it is the basketball regular season now. We're beyond the non-conference, although there'll probably be some non-conference mixed in there. But still early, you know, it's mid-January, so you got plenty of time. You got about a little less than 2 months, something like that, 7-8 weeks. So, and of course we'll look at, you know, we're not just going to recap this week, and we'll do like we normally do on a weekly basis. We'll also look towards the games tonight and this week and then Saturday all through Monday as well. But, Marshall, so far, obviously, you can kind of look at it from a national standpoint like we like to do, and then we like to kind of talk certain squads, whether they be impressing us or, you know, they're the hometown club or the club that we cheer for. So why don't we start by just kind of talking in a nutshell, you know, about the season. And, you know, it's the first time in a long, long time. I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but it's the first time we entered January, Marshall, without an unbeaten team. Now, to you and me, that's like, that could be a cherry on the top. We may not have that team that everybody follows, and so the mainstream sports fan is on it early instead of later February, March. You know, like everybody jumps in it once March Madness kicks in. But to me, that, you know, it tells me, you know, it's a wide open season. Now, of course, the familiar faces are going to be there, right? We know the storied programs. And if they're not there, more than likely as this season goes on, as the youth gets served, as the coaches coach them up, those teams will start to come around as well. So in an overview, nationally anyway, we can start, and then, you know, of course you're going to talk about your Carolina club. And by the way, I mean, obviously we know the first 40-45 minutes is Duke basketball, right, Marshall? It's a Duke basketball for about 40 minutes, and then we fit in about 10 minutes of other stuff. Am I right? Oh, wait. If you haven't heard this one, this podcast before, that's a joke. We give each other a lot of shit. He's a North Carolina fan, so obviously I'm the only one that can actually talk Duke. You know, like, without a grudge and stuff like that. Although they keep picking some local players here, maybe I will start to get a grudge. And they sent Leitner to us, so I'm still pissed off. Forget it, I'm still pissed off. But anyway, obviously North Carolina is young and dumb, as the saying goes. But they'll probably get going. What has been your thoughts so far? I mean, you know, I kind of just, you know, in November and December, you just find a game here and there, a big matchup where you're like, okay, yeah, tonight I'm going to watch that game, you know, that type of thing. And there's been plenty of action, as there is, because there's so many damn games in college basketball compared to, let's say, college football. What's been kind of your overall take so far of the non-conference, and now we are, like I said, kind of knee-deep in this regular season?
I have enjoyed, like, kind of the amount of upsets so far. I know about a month ago, I think there was a Saturday where, like, six of the top 12 or 13 lost. A couple weeks ago, I believe, like, 12 of the top 17 lost. So I think we found out this year even more than normal there's really not a strong set of teams up top like there usually are. It normally seems on a given year that either Michigan State, Duke, Carolina, Kansas, or even Kentucky starts to bloom, and they kind of are the top-notch team, and even Nova lately. But with all the teams losing and losing such bulk numbers, it's really hard to move them down the rankings much, because how much can you move teams down in the rankings if 12 out of the top 18 lose? So
right.
I think we're set up for more of a even enjoyable year than normal. And I just said, because normally the upsets do occur, but normally not in this bulk of numbers. So I do think we're going to enjoy maybe a year of I shouldn't say average, but a year of more competitiveness up top, because that top echelon isn't maybe as strong as usual. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago when Kentucky ran the table till the, you know, national title game, it was like, well, geez. And, you know, last year, I mean, Carolina was not, I wouldn't say I had them locked in from the start, but as they progressed near the end, you kind of felt like, all right, well, this team's probably going to make a deep run along with Kentucky and UCLA, but there's none of that out there. So I think it's kind of weird for a regular college basketball fan to be like, okay, well, you know, if I was to, you know, pick four teams right now that I'd say are going to be in the Final Four or whatever, who are you going to pick? It's like, yeah, who knows? So I think that'll make our next couple of months of this podcast more enjoyable. We literally do have a very wide open group of conferences, and there's actually quite a few teams that are in conference that have, like, losing records in conference but are ranked. Like, I believe TCU started the conference play in the Big 12 as at 1-3, and they were ranked like 17th or 18th. And it's like, well, it's kind of strange to be 1-3 in conference yet still be ranked in the top 20. And a team like, I don't know, even my Carolina team, they've been going through ups and downs. And Purdue now, apparently, who is never that great and consistent when it truly matters to March, is on like on the second biggest winning streak of the year. The Big 12, maybe, we always talk about this every year, but maybe it for once will be a little more of an entertaining season for who's vying for that top spot. Obviously, Kansas winning last night kind of reminded people that, hey, they're up there. But I just think we're in for a more competitive year, whether it be the ACC, SEC, or the Big 12, because for once, all the top dogs aren't quite as good. So I think that would be my main overview so far. I do think for my one little special player I've noticed so far that I think he'll continue to impress people, and I'll throw this back to you, is Trae Young in Oklahoma. I had not been able to see him as much when the year started, whether I was, you know, busy doing something with work or traveling or the holidays or whatever. But the games I have been able to see Trae Young for Oklahoma play, he literally is kind of a level above many others. You know, that term, like, he's playing chess and other people are playing checkers. I mean, the times I've seen it, that guy is running help his offense run smoother than any offense I've seen. Or if he needs to pass the ball, he passes. If he needs to score the ball, he can score. And he's basically been putting up numbers all year. And it's kind of surprising. I think a week ago, he had 154 assists as an Oklahoma freshman, and the record was 156 for a season. And it's like, dude, the year's not even halfway over, and you're breaking, like, freshman assist records for your school? And not that Oklahoma's like necessarily Carolina or Duke or Michigan State, but I mean, they've had a pretty damn successful basketball run with Blake Griffin and Buddy Hield, and they're normally a team that makes a tournament and at least is respected and ranked for the most part. So I would like to
plus
say
they got Baker Mayfield, you know. Can he come off the bench?
Hey, they could probably use a little fight and toughness on Trae Young. You put him out there, all of a sudden you got yourself a legit Final Four squad. But, yeah, I just like the well-rounded competitiveness of the whole season and the fact that Trae Young is something special, and the guy's putting up numbers that aren't really heard of normally, and he's doing it against good teams week in, week out with as strong as the Big 12 has been so far, Chris.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you look at his – I'm just going to list it real quick, his last 12 games. 43,
sure.
And I'm going points and assists. 43-7, 32-10, 28-8, 29-9, 29-10, 26-22, 26-22. He had 22 assists, 31-12, 39-14, 27-10, 29-5. I mean, 43-7. Like, and this is in a 40-minute game where you're not playing 40 minutes generally. So that's pretty freaking impressive, man. Yeah, this kid can play, man. He's gonna be fun, no doubt about it. And you know, Buddy Hield was nice, was great, I should say. Nice little pro, maybe I should say that. But he was a great college basketball player. But he didn't have the all-purpose game where he's putting up 22 assists. I mean, who is, right?
No.
So that's pretty crazy. We talked, you know, the Big Ten. You know, if you look at Minnesota. Through injury and potential suspension, or more, actually gone. And then Wisconsin, the Big Ten's definitely down this year. But it does feel like you mentioned, it does feel like every 10 days or so, some team or teams, plural, probably in different conferences, are going to be like, all right, dude, man, they're playing really good. Marshall, I'm jumping on these guys and this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden, you know, they'll lose back-to-back. So it definitely is fun for you and I. Like I said, the mainstream sports fan, you know, they need that powerhouse to cheer for or cheer against. You and I, you know, we'd rather – you know, I like going in there blindfolded, really. I mean, not when we're betting, but it does make everything harder. And we talk about the last couple of years because Kansas, and now since 2015, 13 years in a row, that is tied with none other than UCLA, UCLA, the UCLA Bruins from 1967 to 79. They won the Pac-12 conference 13 years in a row. So right then and there, and like you said, you know, West Virginia really is like, okay, wow, something's popping off here. And then they go ahead and lose two games this week. So I do feel like that could be the theme, which makes it hell to pick and makes us look stupid. But in the same breath, it sure is fun because you could even stay. I just mentioned Michigan State. TCU is a good example because they did have, you know, they looked the part all of a sudden. Then all of a sudden they're dropping a little bit, or a lot of bit, I should say. Purdue, they're starting to turn the corner, no doubt about it. They've been pretty good last year. I thought they had a very good team. Nova is looking pretty sharp this year, no doubt about it. Duke obviously has some youthful guys and has – one of the best players in Bagley of the whole, you know, they have Trent Jr. too, Gary Trent Jr. So they got some players there as well. Wichita State gets to try, you know, their hand in a new conference this year, the CAA, which I think is pretty cool. That's a move that they've slowly but surely gone to. So that's really cool. Xavier's looking pretty strong. It is interesting. Obviously, we got stuff kicked off in the off season with a scandal that doesn't surprise really any college football or basketball fan. I shouldn't say fan, more of a hardcore fan that is kind of already in touch with reality. You know what I mean? And how this stuff works.
Yeah.
But it could be a shocker to those outside in the fact that Adidas could be, you know, it's kind of funny because some of these lower level coaches had to get paid like an extra $100,000. You know, you weren't going to be able to pay the coaches really that much more, you know, cause they're already making a ton. Right. So you had to find something to funnel in stuff and sign players and all that. So you figured that was there. You figure that would also be, hey, can I just sponsor your team? There's a connection. We'll go like that. But it, you know, to the highest bidder goes the spoils, as we know, especially in our American style capitalism. You know what I mean? This is, it's, you know, it's the Greek empire, you know, basically. So there's going to be some shady stuff when you run it like that. But we obviously had to mention that. We're not going to go into detail. There's a lot of investigation going on. But, you know, I had to mention that. It'd probably be a, you know, probably be a bad thing not to mention that because we're talking about an overview of the season so far. As far as what have you seen out of Kakalaka, you know, North Carolina, who's got a game tonight, I believe, yeah, game tonight. What have you seen so far? Obviously coming off back-to-back great runs, back-to-back finals, and obviously, you know, tearing it down last year, tearing down those Nets. Just an overview. Obviously, I'm going to give not as fun and energetic, maybe, overview of my squad. But what's it like here for your North Kakalaka Tar Heels so far, anyway? What have you seen when you've watched their games? What stands out to you? What needs to improve? What gives you hope?
I think this might be the first time in a couple of years now that we really just truly lack an NBA talented player. I love Barry as a point guard. I mean, maybe he can get drafted, but he is not like a top edge point guard currently. I like Luke May, obviously, since the Kentucky shot. He's been having a pretty good run. he had a 32-18 game this past week, but I just think that we're truly lacking an ability to score points like Carolina normally does. We have a bunch of bigs this year that are new and, again, not really any lottery picks. And, I mean, I'm sounding a little selfish here, but that's just the last couple of teams we've had have
been
very good teams.
Don't make me put the violin on this early in the season, Marshall.
Nah. I'm not mean as a complaint. I'm talking about the team with the standards they've been of late. And in the last 2 years, they've suffered a buzzer beater, losing the national title game and winning the national title game. So it's been a pretty high standard. So honestly, as a fan, to have a down year or a year where we're kind of ranked in the 15 to 20s, I'm not going to complain. But that we just don't have maybe the 3 to 4 year talent that we normally do. Because Roy Williams isn't really much of a one-and-done guy. Carolina's
done
that a handful
of
times since I've known you, Chris. But and even most of the time we've had one-and-done guys, they've been bigs that come off the bench like our sixth or seventh man. And they've decided to go pro. That's not really how Roy does it. I mean, you think about Ty Lawson and all of the Carolina point guards who won rings and all those other guys, they're normally junior and senior late in teams. So I think a lack of true offensive abilities hurt us. And as usual, I rant about this every year.
Well, yeah, outside shot. But offensively, you guys usually can put the ball in the bucket, just outside shots sometimes.
Yeah, and we're okay at that this year with Williams, but, you know, and as I usually say, defensively, we're always kind of a work in progress. Besides, like, the 09 team, who was just on a war path that whole year, Carolina normally gets progressively better at defense throughout the season, and there's been years where, oh, this team, we're never going to do it, and all of a sudden, defense goes up a notch as they progress throughout the year to get better. And so when you take not as good of an offensively talented roster as usual and going through the regular defensive progressions of improvement, it's going to lead to a year where you're losing games that you shouldn't, or you're beating teams by 1 or 2 points. It should be a regular 10 to 12 point win. I mean, to beat Notre Dame last weekend with their two best players out by one, I know it's on the road, but it's like, dude, no. You're supposed to, that's supposed to be kind of a comfortable win. Like, Notre Dame's two best guys are out, and you're praying to God that it tipped a ball at the buzzer, didn't roll in, which I thought it was going to. So it's a little bit of a rough season. Again, I'm not complaining, just giving an honest answer as you asked for, because it did win a national title, so it is what it is. But, yeah, we don't have a lottery big guy that we're used to having, and I think that's putting more pressure on our guards. And I hopefully by the end of the year we can continue to progress, but, yeah, the offensive numbers aren't truly there. So I expect a couple more ups and downs, and hopefully Roy can get the defense fine-tuned to make a sweet 16 run this year. Anything above that, I think, would be maybe getting a little extra reward or a little extra excitement.
Yeah, and normally what we call those, not a rough year, those are called rebuilding years, Marshall. I don't know if you're familiar with that, being a Cackalacka team representative, but yeah, those are called rebuilding years, okay? Usually you restock, but they are rebuilding, not rough.
Oh, okay.
That's not rough. 15 and 5, 15th in the country, not rough.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah,
But you want to talk about rough, do you?
I'll consider it.
Oh, you want to talk about rough, do you? Is that what you want to talk about, Marshall? You want to talk about rough?
Wisconsin basketball's rough this year. They ain't making the tournament for once, which is very surprising.
That's the key. You know the key word you said in there? This year. This year, you know, singular, right? There's a big difference, okay? they just got to the damn finals not long ago. Now, forget the Badgers. Mm-hmm. Let them stink, which we know they won't. They'll turn it around a little bit. But, yeah, they're going to miss the tournament probably. Although, you know, you can make it there in the tournament, you know, at the end. But anyway, my Minnesota Gophers coming in as a potential Sweet 16 team. Usually right about now, Marshall, or actually probably, you know, late December, I'm looking at the schedule and I'm texting you the schedule or talking to you about the schedule, and you go, look at these first five games, dude. Clem Haskins hasn't been here since a long time ago, okay? Bobby Jackson and Corby James cheated, okay? We get it. We understand. Those two guys got in trouble. There's no banner in the sky in Williams Arena. We get it, okay? That's usually what I'm saying, right? I'm usually saying, dude, this schedule is killing you. It's so hard, you know, this, that, and the other. Right away, you want to start good and all that crap, right? Well, that's not the case this year. Not the case this year at all. In fact, I quite liked my schedule to start out with, actually. I really liked it. I was in love with it, actually. But now, obviously, I'm not going to go into Reggie as far as he put an appeal. All I can say is, as far as the investigation, not funny, but I guess we can really use last year's football team in the appeal process to know you got to wait and see what happens. Because you could see six players walk completely free out of the 10, and not a one got in trouble by the police. That's not to say they didn't do anything or they shouldn't have been doing this or whatever. But as we know, usually that little handbook, right, that student handbook that nobody reads, there's some rules in there that are very easily broken, even if you're doing something that, you know, isn't illegal. But it is as far as rules. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm not gonna touch what happened. Why we don't know what happened. They've tried to suspend people for a year or kick them out before. And like I said, 6 out of 10, it was completely false. And we still don't know about the other four because, well, we do actually. It's on tape, but we won't get into it. And that's another thing. The when it came to that, just to give you an example, that the school, as we mentioned, then can't. It's illegal for them. They're not the police. They can't do that. It's illegal. So, which obviously was very damning in that situation. But with this one, you know, Reggie, and then we're talking about the center who's leading the nation in blocks, just a stud on the court. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about stud on the court. Now, his off-court behavior, I'm not going to sit there and try to defend. I'm also not going to sit there and railroad the guy either just yet, because 2 years ago, something came up, and we actually jumped right on it and suspended him for like 3 months. Cops investigated it. The school investigated it. Nothing. So then fast forward like, I don't know, nine, maybe a year. Yeah, because it's, I don't know, whatever. A year goes by. Once again, now this thing pops up. The cops already investigated. They didn't come up with anything. And my guess on the second time, they'd probably want to try to come up with something. But that's not to say that it's not what potentially, allegedly, what the women saying. You know, I like that. I mean, Minnesota, although I have a problem with some of the things that they did with the football team, if you really look at the evidence, I do like that a school, and hopefully that is changing, a school is really going to listen more. And that's something that they haven't all across the country, all across the world for that matter, but all, you know, we're speaking in our country. It's been really horrible, not just in sports, but in society. Go look at, you know, what guys get for domestic, and then go look at what somebody gets for selling weed. You know, it's really scary. Not even domestic. We can talk rape, you know, not just punching, but raping, and you get less. So it's pretty messed up that way, and that's something that we have to change. We have to start taking this stuff very serious. And take all the precautions and all that. But either way, he's out. Okay? No more detail on that. So, it's not looking good there, right? Okay. He's probably not going to come because the appeal process is going to take forever anyway. He's probably not going to come back regardless. He's out. I'm not going to comment on it. That's gone. Not defending him. No, whatever. That's gone. Okay? At this moment. But, Marshall, to make things worse, Richard Coffey kid, Amir Coffey, who has NBA potential, going into his sophomore year, yeah, he's out too right now, and has been for about a week, right? And coming into this year, our best, so basically two out of our three best bigs are gone, out. This Curry guy who came off the bench, because remember Lynch had foul problems, right? And so Curry, mm-hmm, as a freshman, got a bunch of playing time, and we were really looking forward to that three-headed monster and having a guy off the bench like that. He's done with an ACL. That happened right before the season. You know, the non-conference was kind of to build depth because of that injury. But, yeah, basically, and you got a guy who also can't practice who's playing. You know what I mean? And actually, the last couple of games, oh, my God, it gets worse, Marshall. Our best player on the team, he's got a knee issue that I believe he got over now. But the last three games, you can see his numbers. He actually, what was Duncan's, oh, man. I think it was 17 double-doubles in a row. Duncan, his senior year, started with that, 17 doubles in a row. Well, my guy did that. And then all of a sudden there was a drop-off. And it was like, well, what the hell? And he messed up his knee a little bit. But I do think that that's coming back, because I did see, although maybe the explosiveness is still coming around, but he did play a lot better last night. Maybe not shooting percentage, which he's usually really good at. He, like I said, lift and all that. But he had a pretty big game. So that's helpful. But it has just been one after another, man. It's been a rough one for the Minnesota Gophers. And, you know, some people were picking them the freaking Final Four you know, dark horse and all that, but they were a potential Sweet 16 team. They had, you know, a lot of players back, man. But yeah, three out of the best five players we have are out right now. So, and it's not like we got a ton of depth right now. We don't got guys on our bench that you could just pop in. We do have some guys where we're playing them, but they're not going to just make this crazy impact every game. You know, it's going to be hit or miss and all that. So that's the Gopher season as of right now. They got a nice little win last night. I'll take it in overtime. But, yeah, it's a rough one as far as the Minnesota Gophers. But let's get out of that. Let's actually get to some action, right? Because I think we did enough there. This last weekend, like you said, I think we talked about it last week, saying this next Saturday, man, it is crazy. You know, West Virginia, Texas Tech, who actually is looking pretty good this year, right? They're ranked high. They got to win 72-71 over West Virginia. Michigan, who seems to be on the rise right now, they beat Michigan State 82-72. Purdue kept the ball rolling in the second worst. It's the second worst loss to Minnesota loss ever. And in fact, the worst loss in Williams Arena was a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar-led team in UCLA back in the 60s, dude. Think that through. At home, 81-47. Now I know what's his toes. You go look at his numbers. You go, our best player, he basically didn't even play. Barely. That's when he had just freshly hurt his knee and stuff. So now you're looking at four of your five best players out, in a sense, at that. He played, but it was bad. But then we had Oklahoma TCU, which TCU, you know, got some interesting wins early, and that's why they are that high ranked, like you mentioned. Now they're kind of stumbling a little bit. Oklahoma got that win. Xavier looking pretty good. They stomped Creighton 92-70. We mentioned Villanova looking pretty good as well. KU scraping by their in-state rival, Kansas State, 73-72. Clemson handled Miami, 72-63. Like you said, your squad, the Cackalackas, they got the job done on the road, even if it wasn't pretty. Speaking of Clemson, Real quick, Clemson's bringing their whole defensive line back. Ah, are you kidding me? The whole freaking line, one of the best lines?
I heard that, yeah.
And then my two nose tackles at Miami, yeah, they're gone. They're going pro. Like, I thought it was going to be just the opposite. That's what I was hoping for next year. But anyway, let's get back to basketball. Sorry. The shit just happens. Shit just pops off. What were your takes on Saturday, man? I saw a good chunk of the Michigan game. Coaches got them playing really good. That was a road victory, Marshall, 82-72. Texas Tech is long and lanky. Still like West Virginia, though. We always know. You know, it's funny. It's not scoring on average, but there's just droughts where they can't shoot and score. And at times that game is ugly. At times that game is pretty. You know what I mean? Pretty damn good Saturday, though, right, to start out the show. And even last night we had some action.
I mean, the one thing with Michigan, and when you watch them play, they are that weird pesky team that does play that 1-3-1. So it always kind of seems like they're normally in a game. Because they got that unique defense. Obviously, Beeline's been there forever. They always got either a guard or forward that seems to, like, go off every game. So they're kind of that one of those, like, pesky, annoying teams to play just because it's kind of like facing the triple option in football, like playing, like, Navy or Army. It's like, all right, well, they do something so unconventional. It's like, ah, man, we got a game plan for them differently. And, yeah, I did watch Michigan play against Texas earlier this year. They took care of business versus Texas. Texas looked pretty awful that game, but they got a win in Austin. And, again, they have a couple of, you know, kind of forward/guards that seem to get the job done. So, I think Michigan's having a nice start. Obviously, that win was good. I think right now you know, it's been a while since we've said this, but Ohio State currently is probably the best team in the Big Ten. Just from how the last couple of weeks have gone, I know they smacked Michigan State around a couple Sundays ago. I remember watching that while the Saints and Panthers game was on in the background. So that's kind of weird. I mean, that's a team that we have not mentioned being that great of late. They're obviously a respectable team, but Ohio State maybe is probably the best team in the Big Ten right now currently, and that is a little different. They're used to either hearing Michigan State, Wisconsin, Purdue, Indiana, and they've all kind of taken a step back in some way, shape, or form. So maybe we're looking at kind of a different possible contender up there with Purdue. Speaking of Texas, on that night, it was later in the evening. A lot of the games you mentioned started off the day, which was obviously a phenomenal start. Texas and TCU played a double overtime game. I found out that talking to one of my buddies that the Texas game meant a lot to them because their best scorer throughout the season had left the team and got diagnosed with leukemia. And they, like, held up his jersey after the game. TCU's point guard missed a layup, like, with no time left on the clock. Maybe there was, like, kind of just some good karma being sent down. So Texas got a huge, I guess, team-inspiring, motivational win. Obviously, you know, those stories in sports always kind of just break your heart. But, I mean, obviously for that guy, that was maybe a step in the right direction to help him go through what he needs to with, you know, the medicine and chemotherapy and all that stuff. So that was maybe a little more motivational win. The thing I'll say about Texas Tech is I kind of bounce around, and I'll throw it back to you. They seem to be a very good defensive team. I just think that they're going to need to find a couple more guys that can score. Because I wasn't able to see them play this past Sunday, but I did see them play against Oklahoma. And I thought defensively they guarded Trae Young about as good as they could. And they simply just couldn't make shots. And Oklahoma found itself a rhythm. So I think the thing with Texas Tech is very athletic, very long, kind of like a Florida State-style team. They just need to get a little more shooting or more of a productive offense. They'll be a pretty damn good team, Chris. You know, this is a team that normally is always on the bubble. That's like the 70th best team in the country. They've kind of been that reputation of, like, come later in the year, you know, they're going to finish about 7-7 in the Big 12, be a pesky team in the Big 12 Conference. This is the first year they've actually been spoken of in a very respectable manner. I just think they need to get their offense fine-tuned a little bit. Because if they can add it to their defense, which I'd say is pretty darn good, they're going to be looking pretty good, Chris. And when's the last time Texas Tech, you know, made it past the first game of the tournament? I think Tubby took them there 1 year, but I don't think.
Yeah, I was going to say they were very respectable a couple of years ago until a bunch of them transferred.
Sure.
Because Tubby's got that old school mentality. He said, "Oh, you don't like it?
Yeah.
There's the door," and then he took the door too. you're right. That's funny. That's a good. I was going to touch on that exactly. It's been a while. In fact, I think it's Kingsbury that they had years back. That was pretty nuts. As far as the SEC, it looks pretty wide open too. You look at Arkansas and some of the non-conference. You go, wow, okay, this is a nice little squad. They're 2-3. Tennessee started out ranked. They're 3-2 in conference. No, they're not done. Of course not. It's wide open. But Auburn, you got Auburn, 16-1, 4-0, couple of quality wins already in conference. SEC's looking strong. And by the way, just to circle back to the Big 12, Kansas must not win the Big 12. Or else it is not the best conference in the league. I said it the last couple of years. I'm going to keep saying it. You can't be the best conference in the league, the whole college basketball in the country, if you can't beat the freaking number one team. And by the way, number one team ain't winning championships right now the last couple of years. So let's keep that in mind, too. And they got a quality team. You know, they got some young guys. They got that guard still. They got guys that can, you know, make shots. They're just kind of they're actually a scrappy club this year. You know, they're on all the time, so I've gotten to see them a fair amount. They're scrappy, as, you know, per usual. But I'm going to say it right now. I wanted to say it in the first. You know, they got it. Someone else has to win it. You cannot just live off of saying, oh, it's so deep. Well, show us. Show us that it's
deep.
You know how you show it? You don't win the freaking conference. And if they are, they got to be the best freaking team in the nation, like, hands down. And I got news for you. They're probably not right there, right now anyway. Who knows, obviously. As we've seen, as we've done this show, we've got down on certain teams early or really talked about it. And then, you know, 6 weeks later, you're like, okay, well, a lot of the things we've said, you know, you've said it with Carolina. We've talked about it with Kentucky. It's a normal thing. And I think we're going to see that in a lot of conferences. We mentioned the Big Ten. I think we'll see it there as well. But it's been a fun season. There was a lot of what I like to call marquee matchups in the non-conference as well. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, you mentioned SEC and I want to get some. I fell in love with Texas A&M. That's one team I was able to watch quite a bit over Christmas time. And they were looking like a top 10 team. They had the stud freshman, I believe, in Williams. But then they got like three people suspended for like three games in a row, one of their best players, Hogan. Since then, they've kind of like fallen apart. I believe they're 0-3 in conference. I know they had a nail-biter loss to Kentucky. But, I mean, man, the SEC, maybe it's a little more enjoyable. We normally always talk about how hot the SEC and, you know, it's always Kentucky, and we kind of joke about them a little bit on our show. But I think they've taken a level up this year of skill and all-around talent. You mentioned names we normally don't even mention throughout the year with, like, a Tennessee and an Auburn. So, but, yeah, I mean, Texas A&M, like, they could still be a team, if they get all their people back together, could be pretty scary and nasty. So, and it seems to be that Kentucky's not quite as good as usual. So I just want to kind of add on to the SEC that, yeah, it's a little more maybe fun to watch than we're used to, bud.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of flashbacks, Seton Hall is ranked this year, and they're looking pretty good. Seton Hall, you know, you're like, all right, this is cool. And Ewing's at Georgetown. No matter what happens this year, Ewing's at Georgetown, and he's already letting kids know. You saw the highlight, right, where he said, no, I'm talking to you. It's like your dad going, no, that's you, but no one's behind you, dude. You come here. He gave him the finger. Come on here. Come to me. I love that. I don't care, man. I don't know what he's going to do as a coach. He's been an assistant for quite some time, so he's definitely got some experience that way. I'm rooting for him, let's put it that way. I mean, it just makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Going from father-son made a lot of sense. And early on, he actually, the first probably 6-8 years, he had a lot of success, got to a Final Four and all that. But just slowly but surely kind of fell off. And those type of, you know, hard schools to get in, it gets tougher. And even nowadays, man, there's so many more college, you know, the mid-majors. There's no point in even saying that, really, in college basketball. You know what I mean? There's no Power Five in college basketball. I mean, we can't put – speaking of the Pac-12, we wanted to mention them. All right, I did. The Pac-12, we can't really say, oh, Power Five. It's more like Power 10 anyway, right? Power 8 at least. You know, the mid-majors, that's what's fun about college basketball. And obviously come March Madness, that opens all the way up as well. God, there was also
speaking of them
something
quickly,
I was going to piggyback. Go ahead.
You know, at the start off the year, Arizona State got, I believe, like number 3 in the country. And that's a team we really haven't talked about. I mean, I don't even – I know James Harden went there, but even when James Harden went there
– betting on
him. Yeah, and I love
because
that,
it
Jeff,
was money.
That Jeff Pendergraph.
Yep.
I don't even think that was like a serious tournament team. They might have maybe made it, but it wasn't a deep run at all. So they're off to a good start. I know they lost some. And many people, I know it's kind of like the voodoo thing to say, but maybe this is another year where Arizona can finally get to their Final Four. One thing I have kind of heard is the consensus this year is they're one of the most talented teams in the country. But that's also a story, Chris, we hear about Arizona.
One of the most teams in the country, too.
Yeah, we hear that same story almost every year, where Arizona's got a couple of, like, bigs. It always seems like they have a couple of bigs that, like, play as guards, and they're, like, a lottery pick. And you hear the same thing every year. Now, they did beat Arizona State a couple of weeks ago in what was kind of like a big showdown game. They got Trier. They got guy, I'm drawing a blank. They got the star that's last name starts with an A.
Yeah, they got Arizona's some guys back. But they're more distracted this year, though, is what I'm saying, Marshall. They've been a pretty solid program to get as deep as they've gotten. You know, they have. They've been pretty solid under him. But I'm saying because of that investigation, as we spoke of, there's some distractions going on with that no matter how it turns out. You know what I mean? Because obviously he was on a couple of lists or potentially, allegedly. You know, this whole investigation is going to take some time. They may do the North Carolina thing, you know, and just be like, yeah, we don't know what happened. We'll blame it on the football team, and we'll keep it moving. But, man, what's going on at UCLA this year? I can't quite remember. Ukulele, huh? I don't quite know what's – I know there was a story earlier in the year they got a good recruiting class, right? They still have that recruiting? No? Oh, they don't. So they don't have that recruiting class anymore, huh? Oh, that's right. They're going to play their home games in Lithuania. That's actually what's going to happen. They're playing all their home games in Lithuania.
The Lithuania Bruins? God.
Seriously.
I felt so bad that ESPN sent, like, that Jeff Goodman to, like, Lithuania for a week to cover that. I mean, I'm sure with how our media has become, which is for better or worse in sports, sometimes it's crap, sometimes it's not. Jeff Goodman is sitting at home with his wife or kids or what, I don't know what his story is. And it's like, hey, we're getting you a plane ticket. Okay, am I going to see, like, Calipari or Carolina or Duke? No, you're going to need your passport. You're going to Lithuania.
Home on Facebook and watch it. But it's a live stream right there. But we want to get the whole picture of how explosive the situation is there.
And maybe at first he's like, oh, so I'm, like, doing something for, like, the Olympics. Maybe, like, Lithuania's got, like, a great Olympian. Like, because that's coming up. No, it's not Olympics. It's the balls. Like, oh, I was gonna cover our Lithuania's bobsled team. Like, it's a no, water polo. No, it's you get to watch LaMelo and his dad. And oh my lord! And I guess people on Twitter feel
the worst for the little kid though, man, because he's 16. He's skinny as shit. And don't get me wrong. I will say this. Okay. If you look at how in Europe and across the world and other places too, but especially in Eastern Europe, they do develop players at a pro system at a young age. They do that. So if he's there dedicated for the next couple of years, I think it can actually help him. But we don't know if it's this year or next year, year and a half, or once they stop giving them the ball, they're going to go to Croatia. Then they're going to go over here. Then they're going to go to France. We don't know that part. And so I really – at least a dude who was in college had some thickness to him. And he could play there for a year or two and then be fine. But this skinny 16-year-old kid, dude, I feel for him. I'll tell you that. I kind of feel for him. Because he's a young dude, man. He doesn't know what the hell is going on, really, even though sometimes he may say something or – add on to something. It's still, these are young dudes, so of course they're gonna defend their father at times. Other times they haven't, of course. I mean, sometimes they, even them, are like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you, that's just him, you know. But of course they're gonna defend their father, you know. That's common sense when you're young like that, and just in general, right? But there's a time where you gotta put your foot down. But it is tough to put your foot down. And in certain situations, it's a lot easier than maybe the public says in this situation. But I actually really am kind of pulling for those kids to stay there for a couple of years if this is actually what they're going to do and it's not just a sideshow for this year. And especially that kid that's in high school, you know, like that's kind of scary for him, I'd say. So
yeah,
it could work out if he stays there for 3 years, you know. I believe it actually could because they – we've seen plenty of development. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
And maybe eventually, like, the media stuff will maybe just go away. I mean, I know that this guy puts on such a persona, but, you know, if this is all about his kids, maybe, you know, one day look in the mirror of, like, maybe I'll try to let my kids just be kids for a little bit. But, I mean, whatever. I've spent enough time talking about that. Aside from Arizona, Arizona State, I guess to wrap up the Pac-12 or kind of give a summary, that really are the only two teams I have heard of. Maybe there is another team I'm missing there, but
they have 14 teams in the conference, so I'm sure there's more teams, but we don't know what, until football season comes around, we don't know who the hell what they are. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's enough on the Pac-12 and the balls. Because he's not there. This will be the last time we talk about it until the NBA comes around in the spring. Well, I'm sure we'll have words there. Last night, though, the Dukies. And really, to be fair, you know, Marshall's second favorite team. North Carolina's first, a close second. 1A, 1B, you could say. 83-75, big win on the home court, or I should say on Miami's home court for Duke. And Miami actually does have a club once again this year. They just got to figure it out. One thing about the coach there, he brings in talent, but it sometimes comes in and out too much, and maybe like a two-year spurt. So it does affect them at times, and they'll get a little better. But you know, they're saying that it is a very good team. But we'll see. Last night, West Virginia looked like they were going to put it on Kansas. I mean, they were putting it on them. But Kansas slowed the pace, started grinding, ended up getting back in the game, chopping it down, and that tree fell once they got to the core of it, 71-66 on the road, which obviously we know can mean a lot. Real quick, I'm not going to say anything. Purdue is up 23-4. Please, please beat them worse than you did. If it at all possible, beat them worse than the Gophers. 23-4, though, dude. Not even 10 minutes in, it's 23-4. Wow. Also Wednesday, big matchup in the SEC. On the gridiron, Auburn versus Alabama. Oh, wait. That's something different. Speaking of Texas, they're playing. They got a big game coming up against Texas Tech, who we spoke of earlier. Ohio State is playing a feisty Northwestern team, but I think they'll get the job done. Creighton really needs a win with Seton Hall. These are Wednesday games, by the way, that I'm talking about. I'll tell you what. Let's talk about Texas because obviously we know the guy has been there for a little bit now. And I think that his type of system, I felt like they'd be better, no doubt. Just in your mind, you think they're going to be better than they were previously with the new coach. But with the proven coach too, by the way, right? I think the style that he plays, it's almost like he needs like 3 years to get in the guys he needs, you know? I mean, even what was that center's name who was a real big guy, but he had no business playing in that system. So what do? Do you play to your talent or do you say, I know my system works, I just need the right guys? And I think that's what's going on with Texas. This is a pivotal year for him in a sense, though. I really think that. A good rivalry in the Western Conference, the West Coast Conference, St. Mary, I was about to say SMU, SMC, that doesn't sound right, does it? In Gonzaga, that could be interesting. Nebraska is always an interesting game on the road in the Big Ten for Michigan. That could be a slip-up. You never know. As we get to Saturday, though, and I'll let you talk about Texas and any other things before we wrap up the show here, We got some games, man. Actually, in the American Conference, spoke of Wichita State. They're leading that conference. Houston is showing some signs of life. 14-3 right now. They got a big game at home this Saturday. Ohio State, we mentioned them. They got to go on the road to face Minnesota. So that's going to be an easy game. What else do we got? Oh, man, Texas. Texas has to go on the road against West Virginia, and they're not going to be too happy. That's going to be a tough game. But if they lost three in a row, wow, that would be rough. Speaking of Seton Hall, are they back? Well, we're going to find out. Xavier comes to town on Saturday, number 11 against number 19. That could be interesting. A couple other games out there, Florida, Kentucky. That's about it as far as big names. Baylor, a little down this year right now. Maybe this will be the year they put it together and surprise us, you know. K-State, usually a pretty solid team. They got a home game on Saturday as well against number 24, TCU. Not much going on of note on Sunday basketball-wise. Big game next big Monday. Big game next Monday, though. West Virginia again on the road at TCU. Golly. That'd be interesting. What do you got to say about Texas or any other kind of thing, any kind of notes, items that you want to talk about before we start to wrap this puppy up? And, yes, we are going to talk about the Vikings game, damn it.
Oh, yeah. For Texas, I feel like, you know, they're so predicated on their bigs and Bamba and that the tall white guy with curly hair. I'm drawing a blank. But I just think they're so predicated on their offense this year going through the bigs, and obviously with losing their star player to leukemia, who is their best scorer, I still really feel like it's very hard for them to manufacture points. Obviously, hopefully someone does win the Big 12 this year, because it is kind of tough games all the way around, and we can say give the conference credit it deserves. But, overall, I just kind of go back to the start of the show. I kind of like how everyone keeps beating everyone. There really isn't a true number one. Maybe, you know, they're kind of just chilling in the back of the classroom, and I'm not, like, in Nova. But, I mean, they've had a loss this year. So, I don't know, I think we're just in for a very entertaining couple of months again set up for the tournament. The SEC seems to be competitive as it's been in quite a while, I think. And the Big 12, if Kansas can take a couple of lumps, maybe we'll finally see a different team. The Big Ten, I mean, the last time Ohio State got mentioned for actually winning a Big Ten title has been a little while. So I do think, with all that being said, Chris, we should be in for maybe a little more of a just enjoyable show. I think we normally, by the time of this year, normally college basketball, you do have a gut feeling of, well, these are my top three teams, and at barring an injury or something changes, that's how it's going to play out. And we're not there yet. So I think maybe we should enjoy that part of it and see how things do go. I noticed Oklahoma does play Oklahoma State. Obviously, Oklahoma State is not that good of a team come Saturday, but Oklahoma is. And if you, by chance, not saw Trae Young play yet, you need to just sit down and watch this guy play, because he truly is something special. You read off his numbers. His numbers are – I mean, you know, he's crushing an assist record for he's crushing an assist record for freshmen, and we're not even, you know, middle through January.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a while ago. This game might have been like the first week of January tops, and that's a full season number. It's like, dude, that's not normal. The way that he ran the pick and roll with his guys against Texas Tech, who, as we know, appears to be pretty damn good this year. They went in and beat Kansas, and they appeared to have pretty good defense. He was just embarrassing them. They had no answer. When I did watch that game, it was like a pick and roll, and you have to kind of pick your poison of, like, well, are we going to double team Trae Young on the pick and rolls? Are we going to lay off him? Are we going to let him shoot threes? Are we going to double? And they just went to town on him, and that was it. But there was no answer for it. And there's not many guys this year in basketball that cause you such an issue. The only guy I've really heard get a lot of praise that's a big is Bagley for Duke. And, I mean, it kills me to say that, but I've heard some people say that this dude's, like, post moves, like, he's simply unguardable as well. And I need – I've been – you know, I haven't seen as much college basketball as I normally do this year because I kind of follow college football a little more closely, but obviously now this time it's come around to it. But, you know, people are saying his post moves are, like, you know, he's the best big in the country. And so we got a couple of fun pieces to watch, but – yeah, I just kind of like that we don't have a top-notch team, Chris, and I think that should be fun. Because, as we mentioned, Wisconsin's a team I kind of root for because every year when I go on my March basketball trip, there's plenty of alums there. My best friend, his family's got ties there, so they're 9-9 this year. They're looking rough. Your Gophers have been bit by the injury bug. They're off to a tough start. Carolina's playing good, but I mean, you know, they're winning games. They should win by 10, by 2. So maybe we'll need some more entertainment to make this college ball show a little more enjoyable for the whole student community. Obviously, Scott should be happy. His Xavier guys have been playing like a top 10 team all year. So maybe that's a squad that can carry
and
the enjoyment.
You know, he's
stress.
From Michigan in general, too. So he's got a nice little some ball going on there, dude.
Yeah.
They got some ball going on there.
So yeah, but I mean, you know, and you mentioned there's not a lot of big games on Sunday, which is fine because Sunday is not really meant for basketball this Sunday for people in our neck of the woods, and nor should it be. But
any neck of the woods. This is America, dude. This is
yep.
You know, everybody is going to be tuning into this stuff.
It's rare in my life. I've watched probably thousands of hours of sports, more than I'd say probably 90% of Americans, or if not right up there. I've never like lost my breath, like, and it took me for a while to like just kind of regain my senses, like in my life like that. That was I don't know. And we're obviously talking about the Vikings and Saints, and I know it's a college basketball podcast, but if you're a sports fan, even if you're not a Viking, I mean that.
John Lattimore, from Adam. Chase on a deep drop, steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! 32.
So yeah, we realize this is basketball, but it's sports, guys. It's sports, and obviously, it's the Vikings. And so we gotta talk about it. We gotta bring it up at least. But keep going. Sorry, I had to just play it real quick.
When that play, you know, when you see the play happen, you're like, okay, well, he's gonna catch the ball and go out of bounds for a field goal.
Get out of bounds. You can even tell the way he landed was like, yeah, I'm getting out of bounds. You know what I mean? He almost went out of bounds, you know?
Yeah. And then you see him start to run, and you're like, there's no one there. Oh, my God. You know, in the back of my head, I was thinking, okay, well, and it is crazy how your mind deciphers all these things so quickly, and the play happens so fast, you in your head, it's like going in slow-mo, and I was like, well, there's got to be someone about to tackle him. And then you see the camera kind of zoom out, and for all the moments that all the Viking fans had in their head of like 09 and Blair Walsh and 98, and you in the back of your head you're like, God, what are we going to be complaining about this year? And we're up 17-0, and then you see that miraculous play occur, and it's like, dude, that happened to us. Like, holy
finally.
Cow, that the Vikings,
the
Vikings had that
season.
Play.
The first regular season walk-off touchdown ever in the playoffs. Ever. That's crazy. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And you know, I feel for the 21-year-old. He just turned 21. I do feel for the kid. A lot of people said, oh, he just whiffed. How could you whiff? Dude, he didn't whiff. Technically, he didn't. Oh, I mean, I guess you could say technically he whiffed, but he forced the whiff. But where the part is, because he, if you, you know, right when I saw it, I did think he was just going to try to hit him low, like a lot of people said, right? But when you see that back view, Marshall, when you see the back view, you can see him there way early, and that's something I didn't realize live. He was there extremely early. But then again, it's a pass interference. Oh, well, they're kicking a field goal. You know what I mean? Oh, well. It's a lot better than that. It'll at least give him a fighting chance. And also, so he actually moved to the left. He ducked out. He didn't miss the tackle. He didn't miss – I mean – ultimately missed the tackle, but his thought process is like, I'm hitting him, I'm here way too early. But you know what you got to do is you duck to the left and you got to sweep the leg with your legs. You know what I mean? You got to do something to where you contain him and the guys right behind him will jump on him or something. You know what I mean? Or just, you know, have him go out of bounds or whatever, hit him early, and then it's a pass interference. Now, I will say, you got to be careful there, though, too, because if you hit him, you know, in a certain way, you're talking about a pass interference and, you know, something worse, too, potentially. So I do feel for the guy's had a great rookie season. He had a nice pick early in the game. I do feel for him, but, you know, I'm sure people felt for Gary Anderson, you know? I'm sure people felt for, you know, what's his toes? Blair Walsh, you know?
Yeah.
So I just can't believe that I mean, it all played out perfectly too, Marshall. It really did, because you're sitting there, you know, they have that opening drive in the second half. And, you know, as far as Case Keenum goes, he made some plays, no doubt, obviously putting the ball where it had to be. But he got bailed out by his receivers, especially Thielen twice. And that throw it up and let it somebody pick, that shit was pretty scary. He probably had one of his just okay average games as far as mistakes, because that's the thing, he hasn't made mistakes. If you look at the numbers, they look fine. But if you're actually watching him this year, he played one of his worst games. Maybe not as bad as the Pittsburgh or the Detroit game, but other than that, he played one of his – I mean, he was throwing it low. He was throwing it high. And back to that freaking – back to that position we were talking about, they come out with the 17-0. They come out. They're in field goal range. The pockets collapse, and he pump fakes. It's like, what? But don't pump fake. And then just hits it out of, you know, out of – field goal range. Obviously, he had about 5 yards just to scramble, or obviously he just got throw it away. And that's something that it was his first playoff game ever. And it got pretty heated all of a sudden. And also, he was trying to, you know, really kick the door down and just get rid of these guys. And I think he was taking some unnecessary risk where you're like, dude, you can't loft the ball like that. And you could, like I said, I mean, Thielen, obviously. Now, the last ball was thrown correctly. It was up high, and that's fine. I'm not saying that. But Thielen, before that, made a crazy catch that was a really bad pass into double team. You know, so I'm glad that he got that out of his system. And I'm also, the way it works now, miracle, right, all that. But they didn't play up to standard in that second half, so you go right back to Zimmer grinding them down. And also, the last time they played Philly, different team, different year, but different quarterbacks, obviously, but they got the smackdown on them. And that was when they were 5-0, were the Vikings last year. And then, you know, no, like I said, different, way better offensive line, just different everything, right? And on both sides, too. But to have that many drives in the last 3-4 minutes, Marshall, of back and forth, oh, we got a field goal. Oh, no, I mean, that was ridiculous, but it really played out. That's one of the better last 3 minutes. There's 4 scores in 3 minutes, 4 minutes. But it played out exactly how it would for the Vikings, didn't it, at that moment? Giving up the field goal with 25 seconds left, one timeout. It's like, yeah, dude, This is exactly. They came back. It's going to be the second worst comeback in the playoffs ever. Just exactly what the Vikings would do. And then that happened. And, you know, if you haven't, you probably have. But if you haven't, go check out the fan reactions. You know, we say this on other sports. We say this, boxing's another sport. This is what it reminded me of. Like when Marquez knocked out Pacquiao, did I just see what I saw? It looked like Marquez was about to be knocked out. He had a broken nose in the sixth round. He was getting messed up. Last second of the round, bam, it's just like, whoa, and you're running around your house. Grown men on Sunday running around the house, and I'm talking about outside the house, not just inside the house, outside taking shirts off, running around. Oh, dude. And it was basically like, this is how all the videos played out, Marshall. Get out of bounds, get out of bounds. Go, 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 go. Oh, my God, what the hell just happened? And it was just like that, and hugging and cheering. It was literally, yes, get out of bounds. Dude, run, just go, somehow get in there, and then just, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my gosh, oh, my, you know what I mean? And that's all, it's just, oh, my God. Such a relief to finally get one of those in the playoffs.
I was at the bar table, but I was standing. I stood the whole fourth quarter. And it was killing me, Chris, because our waitress just, like, our waitress ignored us. Like, it wasn't even that busy, but, like, I'm sitting here and I've seen the meltdown occur. It's going from, like, 17-0 to 17-10, and I'm like, I need a drink. And she's
right.
Nowhere to be seen. So I, like, walk up to the bar and I have to order one from the bartender, of course, Jack and Coke, because, you know, it gets to the point where
you
need something
what's
strong.
The point of messing around? You know, you might as well get right to it.
I'm having Jack, and that's how I'm gonna roll. And I'm standing up, and it was cool because I was actually I had a couple join me. I became friends with her, so her and her boyfriend came, and then these three guys from Minnesota just happened to sit on a table next to us. We were kind of helping each other throughout the day. So I remember standing up, seeing the play, and I like ran like to the right near the wall, and then just like ran up like three rows of tables. And I believe my exact expression was just like, oh my God. I took a right and like ran between like words, like there's tables in the kitchen, and just like bolted. And then I like ran to the other side of the bar, and the Viking guys I was sitting next to had found a Packer fan who'd been giving that shit all year or during the game. And they're like high-fiving and jumping around him. So, I mean, dude, the whole night, I literally was watching the replay and reactions on YouTube and, like, crying.
Tears of joy because it was so fucking funny and so emotional and so everything.
Yeah, I just remember crying.
And even watching Diggs' interview. When he cried, I was like, dude, I'm crying. I can't. I have to cry. I'm crying right now. The dude he walked away from the interview because he's crying. I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm crying through it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, man, that was something, brother. After about 3-4 minutes after, I'm like, wow, that happened for us. It wasn't the tip goal, but it was like, that happened for us. Like, that's wild. Like,
you saw, wasn't something that, you know, the Boise State Nevada game in 2010, wasn't that. It wasn't some other team.
Yeah.
Some team you had a slight rooting interest in. It was a hell of a game.
Yeah.
No. No, it happened to the
Vikings. It was our team. And it's like, oh, my Lord, I didn't know that that's allowed. Like, the Vikings can have good stuff happen. And I just saw on Twitter today the reaction of, and we'll wrap this up quick, but of Everson Griffin, who is, like, one of the star defensive Vikings players, is sitting on the bench. And he stands up. And he just puts his hands out like he's, like, going to say a prayer and just stands there for, like, 10 seconds and people are hugging him and he just doesn't know what to do.
He's shocked, dude. He's just shocked. You could have stole on him and just punched him in the face. It wouldn't have affected him. He was in shock, dude.
Hey, and for some karma, because I heard about this now recently, like, the Vikings have that chant where they do, like, skull.
Yeah,
where
skull.
You slam your hands above your head. And it was so cool that Case Keenum did that, like waiting for an extra point, which is meaningless.
Up.
Yeah, but
yeah,
for
that
karma,
was awesome. They're lining
Sean,
up. But yeah,
Sean Payton,
the coach,
the Saints head coach, did the skull chant to the Vikings like two plays before that play just to mock us. And it's like, oh, dude, you want to talk about karma being a bitch? you do the home team chant to the fans, and then two plays later, it's like, oh, sorry, we won. You know, what up?
Well, and you got reporters, you got sideline reporters that have been there and done that. We're talking decades. You got two of the most experienced guys as far as in the prime time on the broadcast. They're saying, we don't know what this is. We've never heard a stadium this loud. It's never been this loud. Like, it's already a loud-ass stadium.
Yeah.
Clearly, anybody that's been to the Metrodome, you knew it was a loud-ass stadium. The way they, you know, the way they can work it this nowadays with the stuff they can put in the frickin' walls, you know, they can block it even worse. But that place, and it was a different ape shit. It's not a third down and 10 where the towels are waving. It's just hugging and jumping and, you know, it was like.
Yeah.
That play, and have you seen that clip of the sideline reporter where it's real noise?
Yes.
Oh, and it gives you that warning of, dude, turn your shit down because it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
That really sums up that noise, man. When he digs and somehow digs, put his hands down. He's so good at that. Putting his hand down to keep himself up. And then you're at full speed. I mean, and dude, when that's got to be one of the best celebrations ever. Just to be like, NFL, take your helmet rule. There you go. Put it up in the air, and his brother tackles him. That's his brother. And he tackles him right when he's doing that. And then you see his brother going down the sidelines. He's checking back like, I don't want to get in trouble. But when he said, once I saw my brother throw his helmet, I said, we're good. I think we're good then. You know, I think I'd come on the field. You know what I mean? And to have like 15 dudes, to have a guy like Teddy, to have a guy like Sam Bradford, they're not playing. But you wouldn't guess it. And that's what I love about this club. Could you imagine this, a three-headed quarterback monster in today's game with the media, Marshall? Bradford and Bridgewater are just humble dudes, man. Humble dudes. They haven't spoken a word about it. We haven't even heard. I mean, we heard about it within our are we going to keep him? We got to keep him, right? And Zimmer, pull off, because that's what he does. He kept saying, well, actually, dude, it's kind of working. Because when I'm kind of talking shit to him a little bit, he plays with a chip on his shoulder, you know?
Yeah.
And it worked. And a coach has got to know that. They weren't just going to give it to him. He came in as a backup. You got to keep playing. And you know, Case has even said that. Like, you know, while you guys were worried about me starting, I knew I was starting. He told me I was starting. You know, Blake said we're not. But he also said at times I got a horseshoe up my ass. And you better not rely on that either, you know, unless last play of the game. Then bring out the horseshoes all you want. But, yeah, dude, unbelievable. We got to get out of here.
Truly was.
I want to talk about this on a show forever. But it's forever now. It doesn't matter.
I already enjoyed the last
6 weeks. I couldn't – I mean, I love those videos that are like, what's going to happen if the Vikings do win a Super Bowl and they just have people standing on bar tables and shit just, you know what I mean? This whole chant.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this is like, dude, it's going to be the first registered earthquake is going to happen in Minnesota. Like, dude, I don't even care. I could care less. And it sounds funny, but I don't care what happens this next week. I can take it on the chin, dude. I'm a Vikings fan. I can take that shit all day. Like Jake LaMotta, punch me, dude. Punch me. Like, talking to Sugar Ray Robinson, you never got me down, Ray. I never went down, you know. Beat me up, dude. I don't care. I'll take all the shots you got. I've already taken them. I don't care. I'm still ticking, you know. I don't care how the season works out. And I made sure the last 6 weeks to enjoy it and get it all in. Because I know what it's like to be a Vikings fan, and I've adjusted. 2009 was the last time I'll believe. I still don't believe. I said it after the game. It's Tuesday. I don't believe. I'm not gonna set myself up for it. I just won't. You can't. But
I know.
You just gotta enjoy the ride. You just gotta enjoy the ride. And it's so much better that way. You know, it's so much better that way. And yeah, man. Let's get out of here, dude. This is crazy.
Yeah.
'Cause we can go for a year.
I know. My last part will be I had my mom texting me and saying, "Your dad literally jumped out of his chair." And I don't think my dad's ever done that. You know, it was one
right,
thing to
course.
Say, like, you give the fist pump, but she said he
you
literally came off the chair.
Right.
And
that's
and when
hilarious.
Your dad texted you, when my dad texted me, "Holy shit, Skull," I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
"Oh, that's awesome."
And that was funny really little kids that don't know, they're laughing at the adults. They basically were just laughing at them. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? What is going on with you? Do you need to be on a timeout? What is going on? They're all laughing at them. That's another thing in those videos. The little kids are like, what the hell is going on in here? I don't understand.
Yeah, I saw one of like, a kid had his arm like wrapped around his dad, and it's like, son consoles dad cry after Vikings game.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, dude. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. What? I've never seen my dad cry in my life. What am I supposed to do, Mom? I think it's
exactly.
Is it good? Is it bad?
Right.
Either way, we're gonna have to talk about him next week. I'm going to the same bar. The same people I said, who said they're going to be there. I'll do my best to sit in the same seat because now me, my superstitious part of me kicks in. I'm wearing my same Randy Moss jersey, same seat, same hat, doing everything I can the same just because I can't help it.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, the people, you don't mention a no-hitter in baseball and you stay in the same seats. I'm the same seat kind of guy. So,
right.
Well, but I'm sure we'll have a lot of upsets this week in college basketball. We've been given that all year. I don't see it changing. Maybe a team will jump out as being a strong leader, but I don't think they will, which means that March Madness will be even more enjoyable than normal. And I know we use that cliche every year, but this is probably the most wide open field we've had in a very, very long time, which means that we will get moments that try to rival the Vikings. They won't, but we'll get a lot of fun moments this year. Chris and I will be back next week. Hopefully we can get Scott on the show because we both love him on the show. Maybe we can adjust the day to get him on. We'll have a little Viking talk next week. Can't help it. Skull Vikings, Skull. Well, yeah, let's go out on that note. We'll be back next week. Skull Vikings. Have a good day.